Ken Hitchcock joins us this morning here on the starting lineup here on Sportsnet 650. Hitch, welcome.
Thanks. It's a good thing I know you guys, or else I don't like going on radio shows, but because it's you Cowboys, I'm happy to come on.
We were hoping, Hitch, you hadn't heard the first 2 minutes before you coming on because we were yelling at each other and all that stuff's happening. Thank you for joining us. It's great to have you on board. I wanted just to ask you something. The topic of the day here was the fact that yesterday the Canucks player said, no video games. Man, you've been around this game for a long time. We had Alex Alton saying, if the players voted on something, they think it's an issue. Is that how it would work in an NHL room?
A lot of times. What are they talking about, Fortnite?
Yeah, I guess Fortnite. And out of the blue yesterday, they said, hey, we voted as players. No one's going to play Fortnite on the road.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. I think it's an obsessive game, that PUBG, the old Call of Duty. They're obsessive games, and the time goes quickly. And the next thing you know, you're playing against teams, guys that are in Europe or Asia or wherever, and all of a sudden it's 4 or 5 in the morning. And I think it's a good thing. I think rest is a weapon, and you need it. And that, like I said, those competitions become obsessive because the games are so exciting, and I think it's a smart thing to do. You're seeing it at the NFL level and at the baseball level now, so it's not surprising that's gone to the hockey level.
And as a coach, you're happy that the players did it on their own?
Yeah, I think as a coach, anytime the players can take charge in any situation during competition, rules and regulations, kind of the standard of behavior, I think you're really happy that players are taking charge.
Ken Hitchcock with us here on Sportsnet 650. Another announcement that the Canucks made yesterday was with respect to, as opposed to naming a captain, they go with bullpen by committee, if you will, but 4 alternate captains. In today's day and age, is the discussion, is the captaincy as important as we sometimes make it out to be? Or is this maybe more of a way of the future here in the National Hockey League? The idea with you need to have a letter on somebody here.
I don't think the captaincy is as important as it once was. But what is important is that you know the people that you put in your leadership committee, whether they wear letters or not. You know that there's a transition of communication that's very strong between the coach and the captains, or between the manager and the captains. And you also know that the group that you put in charge of leadership is willing to say what everybody's thinking. The problem, it doesn't matter if it's a captain or 4 A's or whatever, if you don't have that communication where you're sitting in a room and nobody's willing to speak up and everybody's thinking the right thing, but nobody's confident enough to bring it to a head, then you got real problems, which is when you see competitive issues or chemistry issues on teams, usually what happens. So whether the guy wears a C or you got 4 A's or whatever you want to do, those guys have to carry and start the conversation so you can have great lines of communication inside your room.
Hitch, you kind of touched on it just at the outset of those comments there, but you said the captaincy isn't as important. Why isn't it now? Because you've seen this game evolve a lot over the last, quarter century or so, but why isn't it as important now?
I think because the players that come into the game now have a way higher level of awareness of what it's like to be on a team. A lot of these guys have played under 17, under 18, World Junior. They've played on teams. A lot of them have played on championship teams. They know what it looks, feels, smells like. And they got a lot higher level of knowledge of what has to go into building a good team. You look at, there's an article today out of Calgary with Tkachuk, and he's right on the mark as far as the comments that need to change with their team. And there's a young guy that's basically a second or third year pro, and he's got great knowledge of what it looks like and feels like to be on a good team. And I think you're seeing more and more younger guys like that. So who wears the letter the C is not relevant. What is relevant, if there's a defined voice, like in Montreal, like a guy like Weber. Webb's voice is very strong and really qualified, and that's a voice that you want carrying the day for you as a coach or manager. And when you get it that defined, it's easy to pick the captaincy. But if it isn't that defined, then it can be just as effective done by committee.
Ken Hitchcock joining us on the starting lineup, James Cebulski and Perry Solkowski. Hitch, yesterday Igor Larionov was on this show. He actually used some expletives in describing how excited he is about Elias Pettersson. We sit here, and he is kind of the one focal point for this Canucks team and what most predict will be a long year. Should we be cautiously optimistic that a young guy in that frame, considering what he did in Sweden, can transfer all those skills immediately to the NHL?
Well, I think you should all shut up about him. And the reason for that is that every time you guys talk, people listen, and then he becomes a target. And I think that's what's really hard for younger players now. You've got like Bosser or Boser there. Those guys are going to become targets right away because they're great players. They're great players, and the other team knows that. So all of a sudden, instead of just going out and learning the game and being able to play hockey, they're going to have people checking them to death right off the bat. And it wouldn't surprise me with the top end that Vancouver has, which is exceptional and will be exceptional. Those guys are going to be targeted right away because they're great players. And I think that's what changed. They're not the players, the good players, whether they're 20 or 27, it's a tough to let them play now because it's so competitive and it's so close that the first thing they see is a checking line for a whole night, and it's hard for those guys to get loose and really show their skill.
See, now there you go. I'm just going to have a quick public service announcement here on your behalf, Ken. You hear that, Vancouver? No tire pumping for Elias Pettersson mm-hmm. this year because it's only going to make things more difficult for him. Hitch, I mean, this market here, and I kind of have fun with this, but you look at what's happening in this market. This is a team that is in Vancouver projected to be a lottery-picking team next June when the draft is here. In 2019. Conversely, look over on the other side of this country right now in Winnipeg or in Toronto where it's fever pitch. In Toronto, it's the most anticipated season in probably a half a century where it's Stanley Cup or bust for the Leafs. Stanley Cup or a failure for the Jets. How do you try to manage expectations with these respective markets where, you know, this team's expected to be a dud this year. The other side is expected to be fever pitch where they're planning the parade. How do you try to manage those expectations when you're here on opening night as a coach?
Well, I think the one thing you got to realize is that it's easy to get to be good. And I don't think it's that far for a team like Vancouver to go all of a sudden and become good. It's really hard to be great. Like you're talking in Toronto, a lot of futility, and in Winnipeg, the build started from day one. They're trying to be great, which is what it takes to get to the conference finals. But to get to be good, which is basically a playoff team, is not as hard as people think it is. There's a lot of things that can be decent, that can get you to become a good team. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if Vancouver ends up being a good team. And that means they might or might not get in to the 7 or 8 position. But if you play good team hockey and you've got good, solid checking base, you get to be good pretty quickly. So I don't think it's as difficult as people think it is. But to get to be great, it's really hard.
Sorry, Ken, go ahead.
I was just saying that's where Winnipeg and Toronto are at. They're trying to go from good to great, and that's a big challenge.
You've taken over, Ken, some really good hockey teams. We see Calgary in here tonight that on paper looks really good. Bill Peters comes into a situation. Brad Treliving was the guy that Brad wanted. Will it take time for Bill Peters to have this team play like he wants?
No, I don't think... I've known Billy a long time. We've been friends for a long time. Bill is a concept guy, and I think he's already sold the concept. I've watched their team play on TV three or four times here in exhibition games, and you can see the concepts in place already. So I, it wouldn't surprise me at all that Calgary gets off to a really, really fast start, because you can see the thinking and you can see the processing that the players, there's a lot of automatic in their game right now, that there's no hesitation. And to me, it was really interesting. Bill ran training camp practices for the rookies and for the development part of it in September. So he was putting message out there right from day one. He was on the ice before anybody running the practices to get the concepts in there. And you can see it in their team game. You can see it for flashes. They had a game against San Jose right towards the end where both teams would put up pretty good teams. And you could see in their game that for 40 minutes what they're going to look like. And you can see it in teams like San Jose, and you can see it in teams like Vegas. I think the teams that have the concepts down are going to get off to really, really quick starts, and I think Calgary's going to be one of them.
And conversely, Ken, someone with your eye, I don't know if at this time of year, but you must be able to see the opposite, where you're going, I don't know if these guys know what they're supposed to be doing. Can you see poorly coached teams pretty easily?
Yeah, you can see it. You can see it in the tail end of exhibition. You can see it at the start of league play, and you can see where it usually shows up in penalty killing and defensive zone coverage, where there's a lot of hesitation or there's improper layering or whatever, or there's a lot of what I call check and recheck. And when you see that early in the year, you know it's going to be a really slow start. And you, as a coach, in those two or three aspects, you don't like to play catch-up, because it's really an uncomfortable feeling when you can't trust when the other team has the puck. That's what's really uncomfortable.
Hitch, what are you up to now?
I spent probably the last 2 months studying other teams and other sports and other cultures. I'm fascinated by the building of teams and the structuring of teams and how other teams and other sports and other organizations work. So I've been lucky. I've had this time to chase baseball, football, soccer, music.
Which team stood out that you studied in a different sport where you go, that's fascinating?
Kansas City.
As in the Chiefs or the Royals?
Chiefs. I was fascinated by that. I loved, there's a reason that St. Louis Cardinals are a top team all the time. They have a method to the way they do business from single A to triple A. I found that fascinating. And I think the most fascinating thing to me was musical bands.
Which band?
And not telling you.
Come on! Yeah, tip your hand a little
bit. You tell us to shut up about Elias Pettersson. Now you're not telling us the band. It doesn't work that way, Hitch.
Well, I found the band the closest thing to a hockey dressing room. I found the emotional connection there and stuff. I found that as close to the inside of a hockey dressing room as anything.
But then a band could not get along and still be successful by tours and stuff, right? Guys just go their separate way and get together for two or three hours and have success.
The leader of a band is a benevolent dictator. That's what a coach is. And when you see the emotional connection and the leadership that the leader of a band has, it's fascinating because their focus really starts at sound check at 3 p.m. and carries to the end of the day, midnight or 11:30 or whenever they finish playing. I couldn't believe the emotional connection and how much effort and focus goes into that whole day starting at 3 p.m. I was fascinated by being able to observe that.
One band, Hitch. Give us one of the bands.
No. You guys can go to hell.
You know, and it started on such a nice tone, too. What a perfect way to close things out. Nice to catch up with you. Thanks for sharing your insight and wisdom. It's a fascinating conversation. I hope we can do it again sometime down the road.
All right. Take care, you guys.
Thanks, Hitch. Sportsnet 650.